When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Previously on the Simply Human podcast.
I was always jealous of your small head, Rick.
Why?
Because it's hard to find hats. I have many hats.
No. It's bad. The small head is bad.
Well, the big head is also bad. It's episode 165 of the Simply Human podcast with your hosts, Mark and Rick. Two human beings being human. Our goal is to help you understand how humans are designed to eat, sleep, move, and enjoy, and how you can start living more like a human today.
Well, you got it. You nailed it. It took you three times. Well, you had to read it this time.
I had to read it. I pulled out the template, which I haven't opened in years. I couldn't even find it. So on today's show, we have Dylan. Dylan is standing here. Say hi, Dylan.
Hi.
Dylan is standing here watching us. He's a big fan of the show, and he wanted to see the behind the scenes, and he's pretty,
by the way,
pretty disappointed.
Match Dylan's giant donation. You too can watch how we do the podcast. We will let you
$5,000. We will. You can come here and stand in my bedroom. Watch me do this.
Whoa.
Oh my gosh, my side just spasmed. Okay, on today's show, it's Dylica with a story about a crazy person driving. and then that's it. And before that, we have an exciting thing.
But before this exciting thing, a commercial.
Rick, remember that the Simply Human podcast is sponsored by Health IQ, an insurance company that helps health-conscious people like runners, cyclists, weightlifters, healthy humans. You're worried about you're getting mindfulness in, and you're doing you're moving like a human, and you're eating, and you're sleeping like a human. You're intentional about it. You're going to get lower rate on your life insurance. Go to healthiq.com/simplyhuman to support the show. See if you qualify. Rick, they use science and data.
Science,
it's
huh?
It's crazy, all the science. And they secure
lower
rates.
They just have a huge, just a laboratory with, it looks like Ivan Drago's, like, training center for Rocky IV. That's what it looks like. And you call, and one person answers the phone, and they start inputting all this data and, you know, paper, like, receipts that, long ones, like you get at CVS. They start printing out, and they rip it off, and they scientifically analyze it.
30%. Now, do you have to go and, like, do the Ivan Drago, like, running on the treadmill and all that stuff, or do you just call in?
I don't work there. I don't know how they do it.
Well, Rick, the answer is you just call in. You call. Oh. See if you qualify. Learn more. Get a free quote on life insurance. Go to Health
also
IQ.
Also go on the internet, also, because that's something that you and I are completely unfamiliar with.
Yes, apparently.
From all of our, like, nuclear actual physical button talk. So
yes.
You can go on the internet.
Health IQ. HealthIQ.com/ Simply Human, thank you for doing it. To share with you, because remember, 2 weeks ago we talked about the ballistic missile alert.
Yes, and I had a very good back and forth on Facebook with Stephanie Noel about
the
picture
big
of the button. Yeah. Like, you and I are actually saying that there's a button, and she's like, "Guys, it's on
not
the computer.
A button.
It's a drop-down menu. It's not 1970 anymore."
All right, so let me look at this. By the way,
that literally never occurred to me that thing would be, like, computer automated and you use a mouse. I've always just thought there was an actual...
Sweet. Oh, sorry. I was just checking to see if it would work. All right, listen. Okay, this is our good friend, old friend of the show. I've met him in person. Tim Wacker, not Walker. Google...
Tim's a great
The Google transcript was like, well, surely it's not Wacker, right? It's got to be Walker. Like, no, just say his name. All right, so here we go. Hold on. There we go. All right.
Hey, Mark and Rick, this is Tim Wacker. It's good to hear you guys back on the podcasting. Had a couple comments. I live within 30 miles of a Radio Shack up here in Pacific Northwest. And it's another small town. My small town actually has one. And in terms of the missile defense over in Hawaii, it wasn't like an actual button. It was a button on a screen, and there was
a
vision, like a menu, drop down, and then there's like different links, or like on a web page where there's links on the left. Well, the link for the test was right by the link for the real deal. Like, they're right next to each other. So he just was off off by one, so he hit it. And then there was no, like, pop-up window that says, are you sure you want to do this? Which, I work in the utility industry, and we make controls like this for substation breakers and everything. And it's always like, do you want to open this breaker? You click it. It says, are you sure you want to open this breaker? And then you click it. So it's like a select and execute operation. So, and the reason why he couldn't clear it is because they had authorization from the FCC to enable the alarm and to send out the alarm. They just didn't have authorization to retract it. The same thing just happened in Japan, but it only lasted less than a minute because they actually had the authorization to do it and to pull it out and to say, oops, that was real. So it just happened in Japan. It was faster. So it was all this legalities, you know, the permissions from the SEC or whatever to do it. So anyways, good to hear you guys back up there on the radio, on the podcast, and take it easy, and I'll be looking forward to some new ones. All right? Talk to you later. Bye.
Okay, so I think it's funny that, like in America, you have the right to, like, do something, but then once you do it, it's like that when your hand leaves the checker, like, and you're like, oh, wait. Hold on, I want to move that checker. Nope, you take your hand off the checker. You can't even if it's going to make, like, people die, you can't go back. Well, then, hold on.
That's a lot of inside information.
Yes, yes.
Tim Wacker. I have a theory, if you'll permit me.
Okay.
I think Tim Wacker might have been the guy who screwed up the Hawaiian missile thing.
Well, hang on. Now, listen, he sent us a correction. When was this? 4 days ago, and he says this, Mark. This is an email, Mark. I did some reading on the Hawaii incident. I think I might have misspoke. Oh, well, I can't do that. Once you make a move, you're stuck.
Perfect, Tim Wacker, not being perfect this time.
I might have misspoke about them not being able to retract the alarm. It looks like they might have had the ability, but there was some discussion or misunderstanding about whether they could or not. Just letting you know, because I don't want to give out misinformation. It's like, hold on, can we retract this? I don't know. All right, well, then just don't.
Like, we'll just see. Maybe it'll burn itself out. It's like lighting something on fire. Like, oh, it'll burn itself out. We'll be fine.
Okay, very quickly.
It's funny that we don't refer to him as Tim. It's Tim Wacker.
Yeah.
He's like one of the characters from Seinfeld that you only mention by first and last name.
What is Kramer's first name?
Don't insult me, okay? Just don't.
All right.
It's like asking, like, which NHL player has the most goals ever scored.
Gordie Howe. Easy.
Huh?
Gordie Howe.
No, you are not right.
Hey, so just a second ago, it's Wayne Griffetsky. My fat beagle just walked in here. Did you hear the beep, Dylan? He's deaf and old and has tumors all over him, and his skin is falling out. He has turned into Frisky, Rick. Do you remember Frisky?
You guys are like the poster child for dog euthanasia over here.
Yeah, it's really bad.
Really living a terrible life, but
yeah, it's awful.
What are you gonna do?
It's awful. Yeah, like we had a friend, Jackson. Jackson's been on the show. The dog never came inside. And no one ever petted it.
Okay, how many times, Jackson? There were three of us growing up: Mark and Jackson and me. I was 1 year older, but all three of us went to different high schools, but we were in the same church youth group stuff. And there was the three of us. Would you say we were fairly inseparable from the ages of like 15 until we all went to college together
14
too. How many times have you been to Jackson's house?
Oh my gosh. We lived with each other. Like, we would all just go spend the night at someone else's house.
Say that you slept over there probably 150 times.
Easy. Yeah.
Yeah, easy also. I had never seen his dog, ever. Not one time. And that's pretty
It was
incredible.
A cocker. Was it a cocker remark? Spaniel or something? And it was outside. We never went outside to it. It like literally had skin hanging off its body. It would bark and stuff. It was blind and deaf. I'll never forget. Jackson and I, it was like a Saturday morning. We were in his room. Remember that? Like, it was like that back room, like back towards the garage. It was like this, like a cave. We were back there, and we had been playing like King Griffey baseball like all night.
Is that the room where he had the ceiling fan, but he also had bunk beds? And so, like, if you didn't know, you would get in the top bunk and
just destroy your face,
like walking into a helicopter, like a rotor.
So Jackson is laying on his bed. I can see this like vividly, and I'm laying on the ground, and we're like playing King Griffey baseball, and Jim, his dad, comes walking in. He just kind of peeks his head halfway in and goes, "Hey, Jackson, Frisky's dead." And Jackson just like shrugged and was just like kept playing King Griffey baseball. He didn't even like say anything or like go down. Like, what happened? Is he okay? Like, what? Like, when did he die? Like, what are we gonna do? Like, it was, there was no reaction like whatsoever.
Like, ashes to ashes.
Yeah. He didn't even say
I've never met a human being that cared less about
animals.
About animals, other than like killing them and eating them, than Jackson. Have I ever
Dylan
told
hates animals quite a lot, and they just got a dog. They just got a puppy.
Oh, they did?
What are y'all thinking?
Hey, he's a changed man now. Now that he's a married man, he's got kids and all that stuff.
No,
he's
talking about Dylan standing here.
Oh,
here.
Dylan, I thought you said Jackson.
No. Dylan hates animals, and they just got a dog, and it's, yeah, I don't know. I cannot wait for our dogs to die. Well, so...
Hey, real quick, have I ever told you the Jackson dog sitting for me story?
Oh, yes. Tell
that. I've said this on the podcast before.
I don't think so.
I'll tell it again if I haven't.
Was it Ron?
My wife and I, we started dating, and then she got a job in Tulsa, and I'm still in Abilene, and so we did like the long distance thing for about a year. So once a month I'd go up there, once a month she'd come down there. Well, you know, I'm dirt poor. Like, my first job out of college paid $14,000 a year, so like, I don't have a lot of money. So I can't bore the dog. Well, I asked Jackson. I was like, hey, he was always over there anyways, and so it wasn't a big deal. So I was like, hey, can you come over here? Just let the dog. And I didn't even have to walk him. I had like a little tiny backyard.
Yeah.
I was like, will you just put my dog out? And so like a couple times a day, no big deal. Because he's usually pretty good about it. Like, he can go like a solid 12 or 13 hours. And Jackson's like, yeah, no problem. I got it. So I was like, all right, thanks, man. I really, really appreciate it. I go out of town to Tulsa. I come back. I walk in the house. And the dog is just sitting there. You know how
dogs... You leave on like a Friday and come home on a Sunday, right? Is that like...
Yeah, something along those lines. Yeah. Maybe the days are different, but like a three-day time span.
Yeah.
Well, I walk in and the dog is just sitting in the kitchen just looking at me with like this guilty look on his face like dogs will do, but also kind of like a, hey, listen, I don't know what to tell you, man, kind of look. And I look over in front of the TV and it is the biggest puddle of dog piss of all time. And there's no possible way this did not like soak all the way through the, like all the way down to like the foundation. And I called Jackson. I was like, Jackson, the dog house.
Can you hear that? Sorry. Go ahead. Yeah, someone
like Jackson,
me.
Did you forget to let the dog out? He's like, oh, my bad. And I was like, when did you last let him out? He's like, oh, I didn't go over there at all. So the dog was inside for like three straight days.
That is so.
And I imagine
prime Jackson
just finally was like, you know what? Can't do it anymore, and let out like 3 days worth of dog urine in one sitting. Or
well,
whatever.
When Rudy, this fat beagle that I'm about to tell y'all what's all around his neck, was a puppy. I mean, like weeks old. Jackson was staying with us, and we went to church or something, or went somewhere in the morning, and Jackson, of course, you know, didn't go to church. And so we were like, hey, we like let Rudy out to go to the bathroom. Like, we were like rushing out, like, hey, let him in, you know, because it was like 12 degrees or something ridiculous, you know. And we get back like, you know, 5-6 hours later, and Rudy was like frozen to the back porch. Jackson had just like completely forgotten that he was even back there. Oh,
like,
man.
He looks like Encino Man.
We should start a company for Jackson, like a dog sitting company, like Jackson's dog walking. Yeah,
it would be like the greatest Ponzi scheme of all time, because he literally would not take a dog outside one time, not even once.
So anyway, this old beagle goes outside and he just barks at and bays at nothing, and he's deaf, and there's nothing out there, and so we got into this like electric shock collar. That's what that was beeping on him. And I don't know if it works yet. He hasn't barked yet. So it's like, hopefully, like, we're like, and Jen was like, if it kills him.
You're testing an electric shock collar on a dog who's like 40 years old.
Pretty much. It's like hitting grandma with a cattle prod just to kind of like see what happens. She like craps her pants.
Yeah, that's a thing. Hit grandma with the old cattle prod.
Well, she won't stop.
Wanting food and water. Jeez, B, why don't you shut up?
She won't stop wanting to roll over in her bed. Avoid the bed sore. Oh my gosh. Okay. All right, we better get to... This is going to be exactly 30 minutes, I think, if we throw to Dylan now and tell this ridiculous traffic story. So, without further ado...
So sweaty.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm standing in the place... That we laughed so hard at Santa Claus talk. I'll never forget that. God, episode 60, if you haven't listened to that episode, go listen to the intro of that show. Without further ado, here's Dylan Cobb with the crazy driver, I-20 traffic talk.
Just, yeah. Traffic.
There.
Road rage talk.
Dylan. Joining us on the Simply Human podcast is Simply Human's own Dylan Andrew Cobb. Right?
Yes.
Right?
Full names here, huh?
Yeah. He probably didn't know that.
Social security number. His birthday while you're at it.
His birthday is November 20th.
His
football number was 86, and he's from Stanford. He's the youngest of three siblings.
Not Stanford, which is what most people would think, but right. Stanford.
Very different.
Could not be any more different.
Okay. Than Stanford. I don't know. Well,
academics are basically the same.
Yeah.
That's, I mean, it's 6-1, half a dozen of the other. It's the Stanford of the South.
of West Texas. Okay, Rick, so this is a story that Dylan has. I knew that something had happened on this road trip, and he said something crazy. There was traffic or something, but I don't know exactly what happened. And so Dylan has notes, Rick. Yes. He's the most prepared guest we've ever had.
Rick, I wanted to make sure I got this right, because this involves people doing illegal and dangerous things on the interstate.
Which is what Rick is. He is a traffic policeman.
Yes.
Someone asked me today, excuse me, sir, how do I get to traffic court? And I was like, I haven't written a ticket in like 5 years. I don't know.
Set the stage here
for us. So, Rick, I'm going to set the stage, and you guys chime in and help me. So our listeners can kind of visualize what's going on. We're driving back from Dallas to Abilene a few weekends ago.
And, oh, my gosh. By the way, let me pause you very quickly. The drive from Dallas to Abilene is like depends on where you're coming from in Dallas.
And a half, yeah.
2 hours, 45 minutes, 3 hours, something like that. And it feels like it is about 15, because once you get about probably 20 miles west of Fort Worth, there's nothing. Yeah, there's absolutely nothing to look at. It is the ugliest, worst scenery of all time. It is a nightmare. So, yes.
Okay, so it's interesting that you guys said that, because just past Weatherford is where the story starts.
Oh, how interesting.
Oh, well then. Yeah, it's like, I know what he's going to say, and I promise I don't.
So there's nothing out there, as you just mentioned. So it's a split four-lane highway, two lanes going each way. And on this interstate, as you know, there are wide shoulders on the left and on the right, and there's the two-lane frontage road that runs.
I believe it's pronounced frontage.
Or access road that Texans like.
Frontage. The frontage road.
So just past Weatherford, we get to a bottleneck, and you know how this happens. It's wide open highway, straight highway. There's nothing out there. And occasionally, you'll get stuck maybe behind an 18-wheeler or other people that are passing very slowly on the left.
My blood pressure right now is raising. You talking about this, because I've made that drive Dallas to Abilene first 2.5 or almost 3 years of college, I guess. I had a girlfriend who went to college in Fort Worth at Texas Wesleyan. And so I've made that drive.
And,
oh my God!
And what would y'all do whenever you would get together on the weekends? You know what? Let's just get back to the story.
Okay. So there's nothing more frustrating than get stuck behind two people going the same speed, going slowly. So we're probably the speed limit is about 75 miles an hour.
Hang on. It's about, so we're just gonna it's ballpark.
Yes, ballpark.
The speed limit.
Between 65 and 80.
It changes around Weatherford. So at the time it was 75 miles an hour, but we got stuck behind.
No, never mind.
We got stuck behind an 18-wheeler in the right hand lane and some black extended cab pickup on the left. I have no idea why Mark is coughing. And this black pickup is going the exact same speed as this 18-wheeler. So this is normal. This happens all the time. You just wait it out. Like I said, this started shortly after Weatherford. And we noticed once you get to Ranger Hill, that's probably, 20, 30 miles from Weatherford?
Oh, probably a little bit more.
Yeah. I would say a little bit more. Ranger Hill
is an hour from
Abilene. We are really alienating the non-West Texas listener. We'll set it up. Ranger Hill is about, it's like an hour from Abilene,
it's
right?
Just,
is that
it's
about
just
the...
a shade less than an hour. It's about, it's like 57 okay. minutes. Yeah.
Okay. I it's this gigantic hill. Literally, there's so nothing in between this entire drive. It's like there's one really big hill, and that's the only
it's the most
like,
exciting thing.
Well, landmark. You can adjust like too. So yeah, it's about an hour. So if it's in
and
Ranger,
whether it's an hour and 40 minutes, so yeah, you're looking at 40 minutes, probably 45, 50 miles. Yeah.
So this hill is important because it as we had been driving from Highway 281 to about Ranger, so it had been about 20 miles, and we're still stuck behind
Good
these two
grief.
Vehicles. It had been 20 miles, and cars are piling up. We're probably 10 vehicles behind this pickup. We can see it, and we weren't sure. Maybe I'm trying to give them the benefit of the doubt. Maybe it's just an old man. Maybe they don't know what's going on. But my dad was driving. He was being pretty patient. At Ranger Hill,
Can you imagine if my dad had been driving?
Oh my gosh, you would have been patient for literally
about 15 seconds,
and then he would have died. You would have all have died in the car because he would have had a massive stroke.
He would have gone. He would have gone on the shoulder, gone up to the guy, and said, "I don't know, Steve. I don't know what you're talking about."
So
F off.
So Ranger Hill is it's something like a 300-foot elevation change. Really,
it'd make your ears pop.
It's a very steep change, and 18-wheelers.
You have to start planning ahead when you're going west. You have to start planning ahead because the drop. Wait, am I going?
You're going
towards.
Yeah.
There you go down, right?
Yeah.
Right.
Okay, trying to recall. Yeah, so you have to start planning ahead of time because otherwise you'll be doing like 120 down this hill.
Yes.
So you have
and going up.
Significant changes. And going up, you have to get your speed going to like 100 just to maintain like 70 by the time you get up there.
Because, well, maybe in your Volvo, that's what you have to do. But Volkswagen.
Of course, Rick, as you know,
exactly.
Rick, I'm telling the story here.
I'm sorry. I was helping you set the stage.
Okay, so as you know, going up the hill, 18-wheelers struggle to get up this hill, so they probably slow down to
50
miles an hour, sometimes even 40 miles an hour. Well, that's what happened, and about that hill, we'd been going for 20 miles behind this crew here, and cars are piling up, and they start passing us on the right because we're in the left-hand lane, and it just keeps getting worse and worse. Well, we lose sight of what's going on up in front of us. Well, after we pass the hill, we realize that this black pickup had to have passed that 18-wheeler because that 18-wheeler was going 40 miles an hour, and we passed 6 or 7 18-wheelers. We got to the top of the hill, and suddenly we could see again. And we realized this black pickup was side by side with another 18-wheeler.
Oh my Lord.
And that was when we realized we don't think this is an accident. It had to be intentional.
Doing this to be a
jerk. I was about to say, he's got to be doing this to teach someone behind him a lesson or something. Some kind of a rolling road rage thing, right?
And of course, we're at this point, by the time we got up on top of the hill, we're probably 15 to 20 cars behind because cars were passing us on the right and then jumping in front of us.
Yeah, and I hate that too. Yes. By the way, we're all packed
waiting.
Up. We're all trying to get past this guy. Like, just get in line in the left-hand lane, and once somebody blows him up with a bazooka, then we can all go as fast as we want.
Okay, so the next thing we could see far in front of us, and we could see another 18-wheeler pulling or hauling a big tractor, and this truck was going on the flatland probably 60 miles an hour. So we could see he was going slow. So we were catching him pretty quickly. So we knew we were going to have another opportunity, one more chance to find out if this guy was doing this intentionally or not. Well,
and it's been what, 40 minutes?
We've already been 40 miles.
Ugh.
The whole thing took place over probably at least 75 miles.
I mean, when this happens in 3 miles, it's super frustrating.
Yes.
Yes.
So what we could see this one happen. We're 20 cars back, and then there are 20 cars behind us in both lanes at this point.
How fast are we going?
We're probably 60? Going 65 to 70, and the speed in the speed limit 75. Is 75,
which means you can go 85 legally.
Right.
Duh.
And we could see this guy pass that truck carrying the tractor, and in an 18-wheeler pulled over past that truck, and that black pickup slowed down to let that 18-wheeler catch up side by side with him.
You kidding me?
And he started going the exact same speed as that 18-wheeler. We realized he was doing it on purpose, and we weren't the only ones. The people who were directly behind him
were like trying to swerve over and
angry. At this point, when everybody realized what he was doing, people started passing
on the shoulder.
The 18-wheeler on the shoulder the right side. And one person tried to pass this black pickup on the left side.
Did he swerve over?
And he swerved over almost into the grass. And probably 10 miles later, we saw a couple of vehicles. They saw an exit ramp on the right to get off onto the side road. Two of them exited and sped up to probably 80, 90 miles an hour to get in front of them. And of course, they ran through stop signs.
Yeah.
And then they saw the next on-ramp.
Which, out in the country, you can run stop signs.
Yeah.
That's legal.
It's a stop suggestion, really. Isn't it?
One of those was this red Camaro. And when we could see the red Camaro pull up in front of the 18-wheeler, and I'm sitting here begging that red Camaro, slow down, please slow down, force this guy to move,
break with that 18-wheeler,
and he did.
He
got in the left-hand lane and slowed down, and when he slowed down, we could see what happened, and we lost visual of the pickup. He was a little bit too far away from us. But everybody started slamming on their brakes, and we saw grass flying up.
Oh, jeez. Well,
the next thing we knew, when we got close enough, the black pickup was still side by side with the 18-wheeler, and I think that Camaro had given up. He realized he put everybody in a dangerous situation, so he stopped. I mean, not stopped, but he went on ahead.
He quit doing what he was doing.
This continued for another 20 or 30 miles until we got to Baird.
Which is like almost
home. Yeah, we've been going for 75 miles at least. And a state trooper.
Incredible. You should have like live blogged this.
I know. Well, we weren't close enough to really detail the pickup, but apparently somebody had, because a state trooper was waiting for him.
Really?
In Baird. And wow. And they pulled out, and they flashed their lights and pulled him over. And
man, I hope they gave him the death sentence.
I cheered like a little girl, man. I was so excited. I wanted
getting the electric chair.
Classic traffic violation. You're eligible for up to a $500 fine and or the death penalty.
Up to the death penalty. Oh, my God.
Wide range.
Well, I remember you were like, I think because you weren't driving, you were texting me like during this, saying this idiot. I remember like not knowing what was going on. But
I think total we saw three people pass on the right side of the 18-wheeler.
You know people are desperate when that starts to happen.
And one person pass on the left, and three different cars exit, take the side road, and speed past them, and then move ahead.
Your dad would never have done that.
I see that maneuver all the time, like on roads. Oh, yeah.
Really?
Like someone... But the thing is, like, it's not like wide open West Texas highway where like there may be nothing for like the next mile in front of you. There's always cars in Dallas, and when I'm driving, it's during just the beginning of morning rush hour, and then I hit the very beginning of afternoon rush hour because of my hours. But there's always some jerk who's just, oh, this guy left lane, ah! So he'll get off and drive like 100 miles an hour, and get up, and he ends up being like two cars ahead of where he was before. Like, is it worth all that effort, really, to get that far
ahead?
Well,
Rick, I don't know if I've told you this before, but Brad and I, my brother Brad, were coming home from Abilene once, and it was dark, and I was in that red pickup that I had, that F-150.
Oh, yeah.
And we're just driving along, and we weren't, there wasn't any, like, situation, no one was making us mad, nothing. I was just, we were passing the guy, and you're on cruise control, and there's a car coming up, and you know you're going to have to pass it. So I checked my side view mirror, and there was a car there, but there was plenty of space for me to turn, like, get over and pass before this car was on me, you know? So I put my blinker on, and I, as I, when I did that, that car was going to try to speed up and not let me pass.
I hate that so bad, dude. Well, and that's constant around
well,
here.
Well, and I didn't, like, I swear, like, you can ask Brad, like, I wasn't trying to be, like, mean or anything. I honestly, like, didn't expect it. And so I just kind of came over. The next thing I know, that car, like, lost control and spun. This is before they had that cable down the middle of the median.
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
cable spun out and, like, ended up, like, pointing the opposite direction. Like, with the, like, you said, like, grass is, like, going everywhere. It was really, like, me and Brad, like, oh my gosh, should we stop? This guy probably just died.
Like, why do people care that much while they're driving to do stuff like that? But, like, that happens in Dallas all the time. And it's a coping mechanism now for me.
To not
I check
do
and
it?
See, and if there's, and I would, I'll never, you know, cut somebody off by all means, because I don't want to, but like, if I can tell there's enough room for me to safely get over, then I will, like, just flash my blinker as I'm changing lanes. It's not like a flip your blinker on and then let the other guy know what you're doing and then do it, because if you do that here,
they're going
to,
like,
hammer the gas to close the gap so you can't get over. And so you'll end up, like, just constantly making U-turns and missing every turn you need to take. So
I think it's
bananas the way people drive everywhere.
I love just being able to, like, let people in and just say, hey, come on over. Isn't that fun?
My boss is, like, the most easygoing guy ever. And after, like, a couple of months of me, like, I would call in and be like, hey, I'm running 5 minutes late, I'm running 10 minutes late. After, like, a couple of months of that, he was like, hey, listen, you gotta stop calling me, man. And I'm like, well, I'm just letting you know. It's like, I don't care. It's like, if you're 5 minutes late, I don't care. If you're 30 minutes late, I don't care.
Yeah.
Just the hours bounce themselves out. So now that I don't have to be, like, all, you know, super, got to get there by 7:30 or I'm in huge trouble for the boss man. Like, it's made my commute so much better. And so I let people in. Yeah. I have plenty of space between me and the car in front of me. It's amazing. Yeah. My commute is really, I mean, it's 45 minutes each way, which is kind of a long time, but I've kind of made this into, like, this is just my, I'm listening to my radio program. Yeah. Drinking my coffee. I'm just kind of driving
the
with flow.
The diabetes podcast.
The what?
Well, hey, Rick, we need to go. We need to close the show out.
Okay.
This has been Dylan Cobb. Dylan, thank you for being here. Coming all the way over here. And
your story. Thank you. Thank you for your courage.
Rick, remember that the Simply Human Podcast is sponsored by Health IQ, an insurance company that helps health-conscious people like runners, cyclists, weightlifters, all sorts of healthy people, healthy humans get low rates on their life insurance. Go to healthiq.com/simplyhuman to support the show and see if you qualify. You can go and see if you qualify, learn more, get a free quote on your life insurance. So go to Health IQ.
Sure, take something like ridiculous, like less than 5 minutes. Yeah. So do it just so they know that, like, okay, they're not, you know,
there are people
listening.
This is
just a one-way street here with us and them.
Right. Okay, so I think, Rick, not sure. We're going to have Kate Galliett back on. Jason Saib is going to come back on. We got all our old friends. We're going to check in with people.
Getting the gang back together.
Getting the gang back together, just like the Bobsy gang. Bobsy Twins gang.
You're
Stand By Me gang.
Really having an awkward dismount of the show.
All right, well, that's going to do it for this edition of the Simply Human Podcast.
And remember,
Frisky's dead. Jackson just, like, shrugged. It was just like kept playing King Griffey baseball. So until next time, enjoy yourself.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.